Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. Once again, it's Wednesday night. Time to see what the Lord has to say. I'm Richard Grun. As we've talked about over the last couple of weeks about Hanukkah, Solomon's porch was where the menorah was set up, was where he declared himself the light of the world. It was where the Jews would come to discuss spiritual matters, but more importantly, it was where the Book of Acts church gathered together before they went into somebody's home to fellowship and take communion and eat together and study the Word. Interesting tidbit about the Book of Acts church: the largest fellowship they ever found would have been 70 to 100 if you really squeezed them in and they took down a wall in one of the homes, 70 comfortably. Maybe 100 if you squeeze people in. The church was designed to be a monster. It wasn't designed to be these megaliths that we've made. That traces back to Constantine, but I'm ahead of myself. But I want you to understand the purpose of the porch and why this online get-together was inspired, actually started in our family room in Tallahassee back in July of 1993. Well, here we are. It's the last session of the porch for 2014. As always, I want to thank you, those of you that support what we do. Without you, we couldn't continue. We couldn't do this. We couldn't pay for the primetime broadcasting on Blog Talk because that cost extra. We couldn't do the online stuff. We couldn't do anything. I would not be able to do these things. So I want to thank those of you that have supported us. I want to pray that you're blessed beyond measure in the year ahead because of that. I pray that you'll continue to do so. I pray others of you will pray and seek the Lord's will, because there's a lot more work to do. There's a lot more that I feel inspired to do, but will only do if time and finances allow. Over the last couple of years, especially this last year, I have stretched things to the max. I'm not going to do that anymore. 2015 will be a theme of the economy of time and money. And one of those things that will change will be the monthly Wednesday night prayer night on the porch. Since June, I tried something out that the final Wednesday of every month, you would know that we would have online prayer and praise reports, and started out really good and then dwindled to Well, I apologize for that. I got kicked off the internet and kicked off of Skype and had to fight my way back on. Welcome to my world. Anyway, I don't know what the last thing was you heard, but essentially these Wednesday night prayer nights on the porch won't be a regular thing anymore. I'll do them as the Lord leads. Like I started to say, is that when we first did these, the prayer requests and praise reports came in, and then I had to drum them up, and I had to reach out to people and post things on Facebook, and today I got one, just to see, let's see if where this is at. So that's where we are. One of the things that I want to touch on before we get into this teaching, when I first started the porch here online back in June of 2010, I made a statement that I'm going to readdress, that I did not want you to be birds in a nest, eating regurgitated word that I've chewed on, and that you never get to the point where you can chew on your own food, you never open up your own Bible, you never do your own research. Well, apparently that seems to have happened. So we're going to get back to basics in 2015. And one of those ways is we're just going to get back to where we started with the porch, why we're doing this, get back to basic Bible stuff, because this idea of just sitting around and listening to somebody else, not doing your own reading, not doing your own praying, not doing your own studying, is not going to do you any good when all of this goes away, when there is no internet, when there is no Skype or Blog Talk, or you can't get online. So as we close out 2014, it's been a time of reflection. In 2015, things are going to be different. Father, I come to you now in the name of Yeshua. I pray that this technology stays on the air. Whatever your will is, Lord, let it be so. I pray that you'd bless this time. I pray that there would be illumination. I pray that your spirit would show itself. Most of all, Lord, I pray that we would hear from you, not from me, not what do I want to say or think I want to say, but what you want to say. And I pray that the people would hear it. We claim your mind, Lord. We clear our mind of the cares of this world and we stop being distracted. We ask for you, Holy Spirit, to show, teach us, remind us of Yeshua. I pray healing in the people, Lord. I pray a preparation for whatever is coming. But most of all, I pray that they would never forget what you did for us on the cross and how much you love us. So, Father, Lord, Holy Spirit, I give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus, in Yeshua's name, amen. This lesson was inspired actually from a conversation and prayer time I had with a brother, one of the fellow members of SRT, Larry. We were talking and we used Skype to get together to pray on almost a daily basis. And, you know, I've used the scripture out of Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Now, I know that this refers to Israel in the end times. I know that this is a prophetic picture of Israel in the millennium, but I also believe it applies to the church. I believe it applies to us as well during this period of time. And we talked about the word arise, meaning to rise up, get out of a seated position and rise up, stand up. We need to take a stand. We need to dig our heels in, arise, shine, make a statement about it. And that Hebrew word for shine is to be luminous, to glow, to give light, like something that is set on fire, or something that reflects the glory of the Lord, reflects the glory of the throne room. So stand up, get out of a seated position and begin to glow, begin to shine his glory, because it's risen upon you. It has specifically set itself upon you to irradiate you intentionally. And this darkness, this Hebrew darkness, is misery, it's destruction, it's death, it's ignorance, it's sorrow, and it's wickedness. And a deep darkness is the same Hebrew word twice, which means a darkness that's twice as thick, twice as wicked, twice as miserable. And what I saw as we prayed, I saw two giant layers of darkness coming down over the earth, one on top of the other, so that it separated us from the sunlight. It separated us from the glory of the Lord. It separated us and made prayer harder, made hearing from the Lord harder. You just felt dark. You felt overwhelmed. You felt depressed. And we're in that period where this double layer darkness has covered us. It's covered our society more than anything. It's covered what we call the church, which means Matthew 5:14-16 becomes so much more important. You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Can't hide us, Satan. Can't hide us, fallen angels. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lamp stand. There's that word stand again. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Lamp stand. Stand up. Lamp full of extra oil. Oil to keep it going. And the Holy Spirit is that oil, and it is that light, and it shines through us to expose the things of darkness. And guess what? If there's a deep darkness over the world, and if there's a deep darkness over society, and if there's a double layer darkness even over the church itself, and somebody stands up and they begin to shine the light and the love and the glory of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit, they're going to stand out more than anybody else, and they're going to draw people to them. Luke 11:33-36, New Living Translation, no one lights a lamp and hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. I got to tell you what, the last time I have entered the house of the Lord, I haven't seen a whole lot of light. I've seen a lot of lampstands that had no lamps in them, no wicks, no oil, no nothing. Because it explains in Luke 11:34, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is good. Your whole body is filled with light, but when it's bad, your whole body's filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you're filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant. You'll be a floodlight filling you with light. You'll be a halogen. You'll spread across the whole lane in front of you. You'll blind the people coming towards you, and they'll flick their light saying, hey, turn it down. And you're going to say, no, I'm not going to turn it down. This is the light of the Lord. This is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Leaving the light on means leaving the Holy Spirit on. But if you're going to leave the Holy Spirit on, you better get rid of all the darkness in you. And then tonight's teaching, whatever you want to call it, is based on Romans 13:11-14. I'm going to read you both the New King James and the New Living Translation. Do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. New Living Translation says it a little differently, but says basically the same thing. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness, in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. The Roman Christians were asleep, but guess what? Today's Christians, today's supposed believers are asleep. Not living dynamic Christian lives. Not living in the daily expectation and the joy of the Messiah's return. No, you're being told, hey, he's not coming. Don't worry about that. What are you worried about that for? What are you thinking about that for? I'll tell you why, because I'm told to. Because I know I'll be rewarded for it, and I look for it. I desire his return. But until he does, I'll be about my Father's business. I will do what I've been called to do. I don't see it as an escape, as some of you claim. We should be ready. We should be prepared. We should be living for that moment. We should manifest and radiate the luminous power of his holy presence. And we should dispel the darkness, the shadiness, the obscurity. And the works of darkness are their efforts or their jobs, their actions. No, let us walk properly. There's a word. Let us walk properly. Let's stop doing the things in the darkness and walk as if the light was always on us, because it is. And make no provisions for the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they're the things that keep us from being what we're supposed to be. Keep us in a time of darkness. Cast off the work of 8 commands in Romans 13. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Walk decently and well behaved. Stop the partying and the drinking. Quit all immoral living. Refrain from quarreling and contention and jealousies. Clothe yourself with the character, the nature of Jesus the Messiah. And do not provide for, feed, make provision for the lust, what I just said, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. That's how he's kept us in darkness. That's how Satan and the fallen angels have kept us in darkness. Put on that armor of light. Put on Yeshua. It's a Greek phrase. The Greek phrase for when you were adapting somebody's character or his morals or his virtues or being like them, the Greek phrase was to put them on as if they were a garment, a piece of clothing. And that word put on is a sense of sinking into the garment, investing into the clothing like dye. And one of the words for that put on in the Greek is to endue. Wait, endue. We've heard that word before. We've heard it in Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. This clothing, this lightness, this gloriousness, this luminosity comes from him through the presence and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it's funny, in Acts 1, the apostles wanted to know when he was coming back. They wanted to know when he wanted to talk about how. They wanted to know when he was coming back in the future. He wanted to tell them how they were going to do things now. Instead of being worried about times or dates, we should be worried about being his witness to the world, to the ends of the earth. We should be concerned with being supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit. People shouldn't have to call me to come to their town or their city or their home, or wherever they are, to help them with demonic problems. I shouldn't be the only guy out there that does it. Let me rephrase that. I shouldn't be the only guy that's successful at doing it. We're all supposed to be supernaturally empowered to do the job. And there wouldn't be so many demonic problems. There wouldn't be so much bondage. There wouldn't be so many people needing deliverance if they stay out of the darkness and stay in the light. The collective body called the church has been supernaturally dispatched to do a job in this fallen world. We've been drafted into that job, and we've been sent out and commanded to do it. We've been released. Go. Go into all the world. Go do it. I'll tell you what, folks. 2015, if you thought I was jacked up, annoying, brusque, blunt, whatever you want to call it, if you thought I burned too hot before, you ain't seen nothing yet. To quote the eminent philosopher Popeye, that's all I can stand because I can't stand no more. Enough is enough. I'm tired of watching the flock get harmed. I'm tired of watching the wolves just la-di-da walk into the pen, steal a flock, attack them while they're grazing. I'm tired of hirelings and worthless shepherds. Woe to them. And I'm tired of the darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6 tell us if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Let me just stop right there. If somebody can't see what you're saying, if they don't understand it, they mock it, they don't live, your first thought should be, wow, this person's perishing. They're not going to make it when the day of the Lord comes. Your immediate thing should be heart sickness and sorrow for them because they're perishing. The minds, the God of this age is blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of Abba, Father God, should shine on them. But we do not preach ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua the Lord, the Messiah. In ourselves, bondservants for his sake. For it is he who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus the Messiah. Arise, shine. Hey, I'll paraphrase. He put his spirit inside of you. The same one who told the light to shine out of the darkness and to disperse it has put his light and his glory inside of you. The God of this age, of course, they're referring to the devil, but I have this revelation before I came on the air, and thankfully I keep things in front of me to write on. Sometimes they're pieces of paper and envelopes. As luckily, this is a pad. And I wrote down Hasatan, Satan, the adversary. The reason we always talk about him, because he's the representative. He represents the ultimate darkness, the ultimate absence of light, and the ultimate rebellion. Just like when we talk about, you know, we talk the only murderer out there. He's not the only monster out there. There are others, but when we want to refer to that mindset or to that type of activity, we signify an individual that gives that visual to us, that picture. Jeffrey Dahmer, Son of Sam, on and on. Well, Satan represents the ultimate rebellion, the ultimate sin, the ultimate darkness. But do not be deceived. He's not the only player in the game. But I will tell you this much, he's crafty, he's smart, he's very good at what he does. And blinding people's minds from the light of the gospel, he does very well. But it doesn't matter. You've been given a greater power, the light, to shine through the darkness. What is darkness? Simply, it's the absence of light. Obscurity, it's gloom, it's a state of privacy or secrecy, it's a state of ignorance or error, especially when it comes to moral or religious subjects. It's wickedness, it's impurity, it's just blocking your vision from seeing things. It's a state of distress or trouble. Interestingly enough, one of the medical conditions closely associated with darkness and absence of light is depression. Now, isn't that interesting? That people who have a disease called seasonal affective disorder, basically during the winter when the days are shorter and things are darker, they go through a severe depression, only be fought by lamps that radiate a form of UV sunlight. And the darkness of the day relates to the darkness inside of them and their fears and negative thinking and it affects their emotions. Well, isn't that just how we are spiritually? That when we spend too much time in darkness and not enough time in the light, we become depressed, we become downtrodden, we become heartsick. Spend time in the light, get out of the shadows, get out of the darkness, get out into the sun, the S-O-N, light. Truthfully, scientifically, darkness doesn't exist. I said this one time a couple of years ago, and there was a Satanist lurking in the chat room and looking to attack, and he attacked in the chat room, and then he wrote me, and he went crazy. He told me how powerful darkness is. I simply wrote back, darkness is simply the absence of light, scientifically and spiritually. Darkness has no power. Darkness can't be measured. Light, on the other hand, can be measured. We can measure the amount of light. We can measure the luminosity of light, but we can't measure darkness. Our measurements of darkness are based upon how much light is missing at that moment. And a single ray, a single shaft of light can break through any darkness. This deep darkness, this double darkness that has covered the earth and our society, and even the church itself, can be broken through by the ray of his light. And just think, if we would all rise up, stand up, get off our spiritual derrieres, and shine. And if we would all shine at the same time, we'd be so glorious and so luminous and so bright. There'd be no darkness, there'd be no light at night, there'd be no fear, there'd be no depression. People would be drawn to you. And they'd want to know, hey, how do I get some of that light? The other benefit to natural sunlight is it helps things grow. Fruits and vegetables and grains grow to be healthy. Animals and humans grow and develop well. Sunshine encourages a healthy blood circulation. It stimulates the production of more red blood cells, which increases the amount of oxygen in your blood. Sunlight's one of the most effective healing agents that exists. Well, so is the SON light. Get out of the darkness, get out of the shadows, stand up, arise, and shine. Are you feeling down? Get out in the sun. Are you feeling down spiritually? Stand up, rise up, begin to praise him, begin to talk to him, begin to speak out loud the glory and the wonder of who he is. You'll watch the spiritual endorphins and the serotonin fill your body and fill your brain, just like the natural ones do. If you get enough sunlight during the day, you'll get better sleep during the night. Wow, I could run with that one forever. You won't be restless. You won't be tired. You'll just sleep and you'll rest in his presence, because in his presence is the fullness of joy. And when you get enough natural sunlight, your body produces enough melatonin, which is a natural hormone, and you don't have to take the stuff off the shelves. And guess what? Sleep slows down the aging process. How many of you feel spiritually old? How many of you feel so beat up that you're creaking and you feel spiritually arthritic? Get out of the darkness and into the light. And if the place you're going to every Friday or Saturday or Sunday or whatever it is that worships, if there is no light there, if there's only darkness, if you're not renewed, if you're not refreshed, if the people aren't saved, healed, and delivered, you better figure out something's wrong. Darkness is an aberration to both our physical bodies and to our spiritual bodies. One little tidbit, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition estimates that getting cancer increases by 70% if you do not get enough direct sunlight. But I'll say spiritual cancer probably has a greater percentage when you don't spend enough time in his presence and in his light. Peter understood it. He understood it the hard way. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Hopefully you have a Bible open. I'm going to tell you what, in 2015, we're going to make a requirement. I don't know how I'm going to do it. It's easier when you're in a building and you have everybody in front of you. Somehow we're going to make this having your own Bible, Bible app, and following along a requirement. I'll figure it out, believe me. But underline in verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, that you may proclaim the praises of him. Proclaim them. Speak them out. Speak them into the air. Change the atmosphere around you. I love you, Lord. I lift up my voice. Begin to sing those songs that worship him. Stop wasting your time on the nonsense of Christian pop. Praise him. Find praise and worship music and praise his name. Lord, I lift your name on high. Find the music that causes you to verbally and audibly proclaim his greatness, proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Called you out of darkness. Hey, you, right there, you, talking to you. He called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You were out there wandering around lost in the woods. You didn't know where you were going. You were bumping into things. You fell down a couple of times. You didn't know how you were going to find your way home. And suddenly there was a light. And he started calling your name. He called you out of that miserable, painful darkness into his marvelous light. Colossians 1, starting verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Remember, his will, his way. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Are you a saint in the light? So what is it we're fighting for? So many people are fighting these days. They're fighting for this social issue or that social issue. They're fighting for this or they're fighting for that, and the world's dying. What are you fighting for? Remember when the Lord told Paul after he knocked him off his horse and said, hey, this is what you're going to do to me. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of God, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I'll tell you what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting to turn people from darkness to light. I'm fighting to turn them from the powers of darkness to the power of the Lord, the one who spoke the light into existence, the one who is the light of the world. I'll tell you what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting to protect the flock and save the flock and beat off the wolves. And if you think that you can just sit there and the Lord's going to do it all, the angels are going to do it all, you're not reading the book, you're reading people's books. So why would the Lord allow a deep darkness to cover the earth and to cover the people? Nothing happens unless he allows it. He could stop anything and everything. Certain things he just lets happen. Why would he allow a deep darkness to cover the earth and the people? Could it be to force us to arise and shine? Could it be to use us to remove that darkness by his light in us? Well, we can't do it if we have it turned down or we don't have it at all. I read a story about a keeper of a lighthouse who was boasting of the brightness of his lantern, which could be seen 10 leagues out into the sea. And the visitor said to him, "What if one of the lights should by chance go out?" "Never, impossible," he cried, horrified at the thought. "Sir," he pointed out to the ocean, "out there where nothing can be seen, there are ships going by to all parts of the world. And if tonight one of my lamps went out, soon a letter would come, perhaps from India or America or someplace I've never heard of, saying, there was a night at this particular hour that the light in that lighthouse burned dim because the watchman neglected his post, didn't take care of the light, and vessels were in danger. Sir, sometimes in dark nights and stormy weather, I look out at the sea and I feel as if the whole world were looking at my light. Go out? Burn dim? Never. If only we could be like that man in that lighthouse. If only we could recognize how important we were to keep people from being shipwrecked. We would never let that light go out. We would never risk our witness. We would never take his grace for granted and do things we know we shouldn't be doing, just counting on his grace and his forgiveness, but forgetting that we're being watched. His grace can't be trampled on, but it has been cheapened. Well, I have a word of warning for you. Grace time is almost up, and the day will soon be at hand. There's a shaking and a stripping coming, folks. And judgment will always begin at the house of the Lord. It will always begin with us before it hits the world. So if you're praying for him to judge this nation, or if you're praying for him to judge whoever sits in whatever political seat, or you're praying for him to judge Hollywood, or you're praying for him to do this or do that, remember, judgment starts at the house of the Lord, starts in your house, starts in my house. I wonder how many churches or fellowships or congregation would risk warfare with the enemy if they understood that the warfare is going to start with them. You have sin in your house. You're doing things behind closed doors you shouldn't be doing. You're having an affair. Come on, folks. This is old news. We read stories every day of the financial shenanigans and sexual things and all the stuff supposed religious leaders and churches and ministries are doing. And we wonder why the world's a mess. The enemy has poisoned us. Brother of mine told me today the amazing thing about rat poison is the majority of it's good and healthy. Just one element in it that'll kill the rat. I've mentioned this before. Do some research on it. Women that are called black widows, they poison and kill their husbands for financial gain. And one of the ways that they do it is they take antifreeze for an automobile. And they take a little eyedropper. And they feed over a period of year, whether in liquid form or in food, drops of antifreeze, which contain toxins and metals. Has no taste, can't be found unless specifically looked for. Eventually, the person will start to get sick and won't know why. Eventually, they'll die. It just takes a drip, drip, drip of Satan's poison, of the fallen's poison, of the demon's poisons into your life, into the water you drink. If you're not drinking filtered, poison-free living water that comes from the throne room itself, then you're drinking dirty water. You are a people who once walked in darkness, but now have been called out to live in his marvelous light. And as Paul was told, I tell you that the people who walk in darkness, they're going to see a great light. I don't know how great it's going to be. I don't know how many people are going to hear this. I know the Lord himself said, will there even be faith on the earth when he returns? And that'll be the subject of a teaching in the weeks ahead. But those of us that live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine, and it will be us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night, so be on your guard. Not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation." And there it is. Back to basics. Salvation. Being born again. Being spirit-filled. Filled with the Spirit first means we must be born again. Getting back to basics for 2015 is we're going to go back to the cross. We're going to go back to the empty tomb and the upper room. We're going to get back to basics. You must be born again. And some of you say, "Well, I am born again." Well, I have to be honest, I see no fruit or evidence of that in your life. How do you willfully sin? How do you do the things you do under no conviction? That tells me either the Holy Spirit is not present or you are so numb to his presence, you feel nothing. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. And God created through him everything, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it, can never put it out. And God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. But see, John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light gives life to everyone. Not only was he coming into the world, he's coming back. And he gave light to everyone. He gave life to everyone. And unfortunately, not everybody wanted light. They hated the light. Their actions were evil. They didn't want to be seen. Dark. And by doing so, have condemned themselves. But those of us who live in the light want to be seen. Arise, shine, stand up, get up, enough. Some of you, hopefully not a lot of you, are going to go out and party tonight, and you're going to do the whole New Year's Eve thing, and maybe you're going to make resolutions and say, "Hey, I'm going to get shape in 2015. Well, how about you get in spiritual shape? How about you make a difference in the world? How about you shine his light, become a representative of the Sun of Righteousness, the fountain of life? How about you lead people out of darkness to the light, to him? Hey, you over there, you lost? Follow the sound of my voice and look towards the light. Over here is safety. Over here is warmth." Or did Jesus look at the people stumbling out in the dark and go, "What fools, the light's over here, they're bumping into trees"? Tell them about the light. Get them out of there. Some people don't even know they're in darkness. Some of them are blind. To a blind person, sunlight means nothing. You must first open their eyes. But maybe you don't want to. I'm sorry, maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd of people. Maybe you just want things to stay the way they are. "Hey, I'm going to tune into that guy on the porch on Wednesday night. I'm going to see what he has to say." I know you do. 300 to 500 of you weekly do so. And I hear from hardly any of you. And thankfully, a small handful believe enough in what we do to support it and keep it going. But I don't know. Maybe you just like to fill your mind. There's two trees in the garden, tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hey, I'm going to eat that fruit. I'm going to eat the one that's got the knowledge and gnosis. I want to fill up my mind. That will not change a thing. Shaking is coming, folks. And the shaking begins at the house of the Lord and those who live it. amazing thing in that Paul's admonition in Romans 13, the admonition of the light and the Lord soon return. The first was to wake up. Wake up. The second was, now that you're awake, clean up. Get ready. Don't be found dressed in dirty garments when the Lord returns. The king's coming back. You better be clean. Put on your clean clothes. Better yet, put on that armor of light he gave you. Don't put on the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. You've got no reason to get involved in the sins of this. You woke up, and now you've cleaned up. Stay clean. And the final admonition he gave them in Romans 13:14 was to grow up. Put on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, means to become more like him, to receive by faith all that he does for us in our daily living. Grow up. Stop arguing over silly little things. Stop being possessive and argumentative. What are you doing with this knowledge? Everybody's arguing about this or arguing about that, or I don't believe in this and I don't believe in that. What have you done for the king lately? Grow up. Start eating the right food. Make no provisions for the flesh, but feed your spirit man. Feed your inner man. Feed that. Nourish yourself with the things of the spirit. Because the night is almost over. The demonic darkness is almost over, but unfortunately it's going to get worse and worse before it's over, as the day of the Lord approaches. Prepare to see it. Prepare to meet it. Be ready for it, shining and ready. So I have a question before I go to the one prayer request and then throw in some of my own. Are you ready? Will you arise and shine? Will you shine his glory into the darkness? Will you lead people out of the darkness? Will you care more about them than you care about yourselves? Will you stop the denominational, congregational, I believe this nonsense and just believe in him? Fulfill the Great Commission. Don't become part of the Great Omission. Make 2015 the year that you burned brighter than you ever have before. From my brother in Tennessee, prayer for his family, his son, his wife, and his granddaughter, for restoration and reconciliation and repentance, protection and mercy, traveling mercies and safety for his oldest son who's off working in Africa, and for the Lord to draw his new wife to him to be saved, healed, and delivered. Brother, I agree with you. I pray that every day as I stand in the gap for you. He praises the Lord for his mercy, his grace, and he has a heartfelt prayer that the Lord would draw us back, draw everyone back to the time when the spark was ignited and we chose him and we chose the light over the darkness. And I agree with you too, brother. Every day, I thank him. I thank him for the cross. I thank him for the empty tomb. I thank him for the upper room. I thank him for you. I thank him for the ability to do this. I thank him that he would even pick me. I'm amazed that he would even pick me and consider me. He's called you out of darkness. Let's make 2015 the year that there was more light than there ever was before. That we help more of the least of them. That we take care of one another and stop beating each other up. That we feed the hungry. Father, I praise you for what you've done for us. and for every person listening. I praise you for healing broken families, for husbands and wives to fall back in love with one another, but more importantly, to fall in love with you and to make you the basis of their marriage, for all the wounds to be healed, all the words to be forgotten that have been spoken against each other, to knit together what the enemy has tried to tear apart, to bring back the children, to bring back the prodigal sons and daughters. I pray, Lord, that you would leave the 99 and go find that one that has wandered off, that has forgotten you, but someone is praying for them and we pray for them. Come home. Come home. It's dark out there. There's a light burning just for you. For the person that dabbles in the occult and the witchcraft looking for power, I pray that you would have the revelation that I had, that there is no power in darkness, that all the power is in the light, and that you're really just a puppet. And the hole in your heart can only be filled by the love of the Lord. I pray for healing and deliverance, those caught in the bondage of the desires of the flesh, things that the enemy has done to them. I pray that they would be desires no more, but be repulsed by them. Set them free, Lord, wherever they are, miraculously and by your grace and by your mercy, set them free. I pray that we would live lives that glorify you, that we would live the gospel, that we would shine your light from our eyes, that even without saying a word, someone would feel and see your presence, and they would remember a song that they heard as a child, or a sermon, or something they saw on Christian TV, or regular TV, or a movie that you had slipped your message into, and would remember you and would run to the cross. You know, Lord, I know you're not on the cross anymore. I know that. I know that you're alive, and I know that you're coming back, and I long to see you. But the cross reminds me of what you did for me. And the cross reminds me of why I can't ever stop doing for you. We long for you, Lord, but until you come, we're going to do the job. We're going to go. We're going to make disciples. We're going to tell them about you, not about our church, not about our pastor, not about the guy on the internet on Wednesday night, but we're going to talk about you. Let me tell you what a Jewish carpenter did for me. Let me tell you what this man, the Nazarene, did for me. Let me tell you about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who's going to be coming soon. And I want you to know him before he gets here. So if you don't know him, I want to pray for you. Somehow maybe you've stumbled upon this, or you listened to it, or somebody gave it to you. But you don't know him personally. I pray for that. I pray for that you would come to him as you are. There's nothing you've done that he doesn't know about. And that you just recognize that you need a Savior. The mess of your life can only be fixed by someone greater than you. And he is the great I Am. So I pray, and I pray that you would pray with me and just say, Lord Jesus, Yeshua, I accept what you did for me on the cross. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are Messiah, that you have been raised from the dead, and I make you Lord of my life. Also pray with me that he would fill you with his Holy Spirit, with both the gifts and the fruit showing and being manifested in and through you in Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can go to firefalltalkradio.com or write me at the porch. I apologize, the ministry site is still not up. That'll be dealt with in the coming year. It'll be back no matter what. Thank you for being here tonight. I pray a blessed new year for you. I pray blessings and miracles and signs and wonders. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio.